Good morning. Good to be here. Amen. It's especially good for me to be here. Last week, the pain in my shoulder was bad enough. They were giving me some steroids and codeine. I don't like to take those medicines, but it made me dizzy. And I was in the bathroom, and I blacked out, just cold, and fell, cut my lip. I did this all my own. I didn't need any help. And bruised my arms, bruised my thighs. I mean, I'm all bruised up. I feel like Elvis Presley. He was all shook up, and I'm all bruised up. Amen? But I'm getting better. And so thank the Lord for that. I mean, I'm doing fine. I'm just sore. And so you pray for me that everything will be fine and I'll do well. And I hate flying on airplanes anyhow, but you got to do that for go up to Michigan. So, all right, I want to call your attention to the fourth chapter of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read some verses, but before we do, I want to give you a little background. In chapter 3, it's important that we note this so you understand maybe a little better about the text. In chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, and Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. So now he's going down by the seashore from where he is. And the Bible says a great multitude followed him. So there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people following Christ down to the seashore. And from Jerusalem and from Samaria and from beyond the Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, which they had heard, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. So now they're just flooding to be around him. You understand that? He's now got thousands of people around him. And the Bible says, and he spake to his disciples, verse 9 of chapter 3, that a small ship should wait on him, because he wanted to get, he was so pressed. He thought if there was a small ship close to shore, he could go out and stand in the ship and speak to them. The Bible says that it was so bad that they pressed upon him for to touch him, so many as had plagues and unclean spirits. When they saw him, fell down before him and cried, "Thou art the Son of God," and he straitly charged them that they should not make him known to the unclean spirits. So now he's healed thousands of people. You know, sometimes I think we think the miracles of Jesus, just those few that took place in the Gospels. But here there's just thousands of people, and they thronged him. And just to touch him, because of their faith, putting a faith, believing that he could do what no one else could do, they were changed. He healed them, and this was going on for some time, according to these verses. So by the time we get to chapter 4, it's important to note that. By the time we get to chapter 4, and chapter 4, verse 1 says, and he began again to teach by the sea side, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude still with him, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Now he's going to teach them some lessons. So now he's worn out, been doing miracles, and now he preaches for 30 or 40 minutes. And by the time we get done with that, we go over to chapter 35, and it says, and the same day, when the evening was come, so now he was, remember now, he's thronged by thousands, he's healing thousands, he comes to the seashore, he preaches all day. Now it's evening time, verse 35. He's been speaking all day, healing the majority of the day before. And the same day, when this evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, and listen to this phrase, they took him even as he was. It's kind of a strange verse. What it means is they took him in the terrible condition he was in. He was completely drawn out. Remember, he was very God and very man. The humanity of Christ got tired, weary. He needed rest. Here it says, even as he was. In other words, they took him in the condition he was in. He was in some kind of bad condition. In fact, we know from this text that we're going to read the rest of the text. He was so tired, so weary, so worn out, that he got on board the ship and went asleep. He fell asleep. He was just exhausted. He was completely worn out. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also other little ships with him. And Bible verse 37 says, and I want you to note this little phrase, and there arose a great storm. The Sea of Galilee isn't really big, but it is a treacherous place to fish, to see, to be on the water. It's bordered by mountains. Its south narrows down into the Jordan River. It's difficult to navigate when the seas are up, and the seas come up terribly. In fact, in just a minute, we're going to show you the slides of the first point. That slide that you will be looking at is actually a picture of a storm on the Sea of Galilee, the literal sea. And so they get on the sea. They're fishermen, four of them only. Amen. The rest were all not fishermen. And they're going onto this sea now. And Jesus makes a statement to them, we must go to the other side. They're going to go up to Capernaum. That's where they're sailing to. And from Capernaum, they're going to sail to the other side, which would be, Capernaum is northwest on the Sea of Galilee. The other side would be southeast, which is Gadara. How many remember the chapter 5, the next chapter? Jesus heals the maniac of Gadara. It's in Gargaza, the city. The general area is called Gadara. And so he said, we must needs go to the other side, which was southeast to Gadara. These men were thinking, we hope we can just make it to Capernaum, let alone go to the other side. And so this sea that they were now on, the Bible says, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, not of people, but of water. Now, how many know that it's better for the water not to be in the ship? That's not a good thing. I was fishing with a friend of mine one time, and he had a little bitty 12-foot boat. And we're out in the water, and I don't recommend two big guys going a 12-foot boat anywhere. But we got in this little boat, and it wasn't very deep. It was like a John boat, and so we're fishing around, and he'd lean over somewhere to cast, or I'd lean over somewhere to cast, and pretty soon we're doing this back and forth. Pretty soon I'm looking down, we got 6 inches of water in this boat. I'm going, boy, I said, we better go to the other side. It didn't look good. It's dangerous to be in a boat, and this is a fishing boat. It's dangerous to be in a fishing boat when it's filling with water. And he was in the hinder part of the boat, the ship, asleep. In fact, the word asleep means fast asleep. He was out on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, don't you care? We're going to perish. We're going to die. Master. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there, I love this phrase, there was a great calm. There arose a great storm. There came a great calm. Now, what's this story about? I believe this story is significant to every Christian. I believe it's a picture of the circumstances of life, or the storms of life. Everybody here faces storms. Some are big storms, some are small storms. But a storm like this is a storm you can't handle. It's a storm you can't correct. A storm you can't grip or get a hold of. It grips you, it changes you, it moves you, it affects you. And when we have those kind of storms, where do we go? We go to Jesus. And so this morning, let me preach to you a simple message on the storms of life. Number one, first thing I want you to notice is, here's that, look at that slide. Those are 20, 30 foot waves on that little Sea of Galilee. That's a real storm on the Sea of Galilee. Number one, here's the first point I want you to notice. Storms come. Now let me pause to say this. How many sometimes, like when I first got saved, I thought, everything's fine. I thought, man, it can never be as bad as it was. I'm in good shape. Everything's going to be, I'm going to be on smooth sailing. No. Storms come. They come to us. And I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care how strong you think you are. Storms come. And when they come, they set down on you. And they affect you just like this storm. These men didn't know they were going to get in a boat and going to have a storm. They didn't say, we always have storms there, so it'll be okay because Jesus is with us. They didn't think that. They were just obeying. They got in the boat. Storms come. They're common to everyone. Remember, every disciple got on board. All 12 of them. None stayed back. None thought, you know, it's that time of year when storms are coming. Jesus, I've got a few things to do here yet in Jerusalem. I'll see you later. No, they all got in the boat. Everyone, no one was exempt from the storm. Storms come. Circumstances can change in a moment. Heartache can crush you. Fear can grip your heart, smother you in darkness. Loved ones die. The storms of life come. Work gets hard. People turn against you. Physical illness attacks you. I'll tell you, Monday I didn't feel good. You know, I found out something Monday. You're not supposed to fall down and straddle the toilet. It's painful. The storms of life come. Job said this, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Job knew something about trouble. Job faced the storms of life. This storm was a circumstance beyond their control. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't make a difference. They simply were in the middle of this storm. Number one, storms come. Number two, and I love this thought, storms come. Think with me now. Think of the text. Storms come even when we are following Christ. Do you hear that? See, some people have the fooling notion that the reason we have storms is because we've done something what? Bad. So God is chastising us. These guys are doing everything right. They were following. They were obedient. They got in the boat. They helped Jesus there. They were doing just what Jesus asked them to do. Storms come even in obedient life. They come even when you're following Christ. Bad things happen to God's people, some say, because of sin. Nonsense. Bad things happen to God's people because of circumstances that God is using for a purpose. Now, are you saying, Pastor, that when we sin, God doesn't chastise us? Nope. That happens. But this isn't what's happening here. There's no chastisement here. There's no disobedience here. The disciples were on the boat. They were, number one, doing exactly as he had asked. Amen? Number two, they were serving Christ. Do you realize the ministry they were giving to him? They took him even as he was. I see a picture there that's, maybe you don't see it, but I see a picture there. When they took him even as he was, I see such a gentleness, such a carefulness. He must have been just worn out. And I can see his couple of arms under one side, couple of arms under the other. I can see them helping him. Maybe two in the boat are helping him onto the boat. They're getting him situated. There was a pillow there. That's not common to a boat ride. They gave him a pillow. They laid him down to rest. They were serving him. They were caring for him. They were watching him. They were protecting him. They were doing exactly what God asked them to do. Which gives us a point to remember. There is suffering in the will of God. There is suffering in the will of God. Number one, storms come. Number two, storms come even when we are following, when we're doing what's right. Number three, and here's the key. Storms come to test our faith, all God's people said. Look at verse 40. What does he say to them? Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so scared? Have you ever been scared? Have you ever had a circumstance where something happened and fear just came over you? You can't give up, but you're flushed. You're gripped. Where's your faith? He's not condemning them here. He's pointing out a circumstance and the evident reaction to the circumstance. When things happen bad for us, like this, don't we often say, God, why is that happening? Where's your faith? Why don't you just say, oh, God, I'm fine. It's in your will. We don't do that. We question, we ask. He knew that. He was testing their faith. Four fishermen, I wrote this down as a note to myself. Four fishermen, the rest are not. Peter, Andrew, James, John. Peter, loudmouth. Always saying something. Amen? Andrew, always trying to quiet Peter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder. Sons of Zebedee were two good, solid fishermen. So they had four men in the boat and eight that were not boatsmen. Those aren't great odds. Amen? How many like those odds? 2-1 against yourself. Those aren't good odds. Our faith often fails in the storms of life. Let me give you four reasons why. Number one, fear of the unknown. They had no idea this storm was coming. Has anything happened to you that you had no idea was going to happen? Yep. And I hate to use myself as an illustration, but I'm a good illustration. I'm an illustration of Murphy's Law. But I had no idea I would go into the bathroom and I don't mean faint, I mean blackout. Complete loss of consciousness. I had no idea that happened. Fear of the unknown is a terrible thing. The storm was the unknown entity in this circumstance. Fear of the unknown. Number two, our faith often fails in the storms of life. Number one, because of the fear of the unknown. Number two, because of anxiety over uncontrollable circumstances. There are a lot of people in the hospital today because of stress. Anxiety, anxiousness. Paul tells us not to be anxious, but good for Paul. I know we shouldn't be anxious. No, the Bible says we need not be anxious. But I get anxious. Worry grips me. And fear builds on anxiety, anxiousness over uncontrollable circumstances. So often, we want to be in control, and we can't be in control. And when you can't be in control, anxiety comes. It's that simple. Number three, faith fails in the storms of life because of impatience during the difficulty. What? Here's the impatience. Master, carest thou not that we perish? God, I'll go through this. I want it over, though. Now. Help at the end. Now. We're impatient in the circumstance. Eddie, you're looking for a job. You've looked for when you were looking for a job. I'm sure, I don't know you that well, but I'm sure, knowing you as much as I do, that there were times when you said, Lord, could you maybe make this happen a little faster? Could you fix that a little better for me? Could you cause it to happen a little better? Could we get it done now? Sharon's got a big job. And I'm sure there are times when if God just bring it in, take it, take care of it, move it on, and I can go to the next thing. But sometimes this process takes a long time. We've all been in those conditions. We get to a place where we have impatience. So our faith gets tired, gets tested, wearied. And here's the most important one. Our faith often fails in the storms of life. Well, I should probably say this. Our faith is often tested in the storms of life. And it causes doubts about God. Doubts about God. Is he there? Is he good? Is he judging me? Why am I going through this terrible thing? Storms come. Storms come even when we're following Christ. Storms come to test our faith. Here's the last thing that this text teaches us. And this is the important thing. Storms come to help us or to cause us to refocus. How many remember the old cameras that you had to focus all the time? I spent more time trying to get it in focus. Then I take the picture and it still wasn't in focus. They have the new ones that we got were digital and instantaneous. They focused themselves. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. Unbelievable. Well, sometimes in the Christian life, especially when trials come, circumstances become difficulty. We lose our focus. Our focus is not on Jesus at that time. It's on us. It's on the circumstance. It's on how long. It's on what's next. But it's not on Jesus. Verse 41. In verse 40, In verse 38, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Verse 41, fearful, questioning, Master, carest thou not? They refocused. Listen to this. And they feared exceedingly. I like that phrase. This word feared means, they said, the reverence of the one they were looking at became so strong in their life that they said, this is not just a man. We're in the presence of someone different. And they say so when they say, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? What kind of man is this? You see, it wasn't the disciples and a boat and a man. It was the disciples in a boat with the God-man. And that made all the difference. Their focus needed to change from who Jesus they thought, who they thought he was, to who Jesus really was. I think this was the eye-opener for the disciples. This is now the point where they finally say, he is God. Very God, very man. The Mashiach, the Messiah. God in the flesh. And when they made that recognition, it changed everything for them. From that point on, they became not just his disciples, but his apostles. They were given gifts and sent to preach and change the known world in one generation. The storms of life come to cause us to refocus. He wanted them to see him for who he really was. He wanted them to get their eyes off of the circumstances and put their trust in the God who is the God of all circumstance. Again, in this storm, it wasn't the disciples, the storm, and a man. It was the disciples, the storm, and a God-man. Rob, pop up that last. Look at this. You see this picture? Look up. The first picture we had was a storm on the Sea of Galilee. There arose a great storm. This is a picture of the same sea. The Bible says there came a great calm. Same place, different viewpoint. Jesus is not a man. He is a God-man. And he walks us through the circumstance of life to help us learn the lessons of the circumstance. We don't always get out of the storms of life, but we get through the storms of life. And every once in a while, and I like this thought, every once in a while, he'll give us a storm that seems so overwhelming that we can't possibly make it through. And in a few short hours, it's gone. just like here. And I think he stepped in as only he could, and in his precious power, he stood up the bow of that ship and said, "Peace be still." The Creator spoke to the creation, and it obeyed instantaneously. And I don't believe when he said, "Peace be still," that after an hour and a half, the seas calmed. I believe it looked just like that, a sea of glass. When he said, "Peace be still," it was instantaneous. By the way, when he says in your storm, "Peace be still," it's instantaneous. He takes care of the storm. God, help us to trust you in the storms of life. Lord, help us to be able to see your work in the storm and see our willingness, Father, to go with you, even though the pain is there, even though it aches, even though it's frightening. Lord, help us to trust you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.